Hey, welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey, and glad to have you with us. We're going to have a very good show today, and I'm going to keep my talking to a minimum because we have Greg Long, the Executive Director of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, and Kim Weaver, who's the Director of External Affairs here, and we're going to be talking about the TSP hack attack. Hope you read the column today, and I hope you're aware of the numbers that have involved in the timeline. So I wanted to get first to Greg Long and just ask him, say, Greg, hey, thank you for coming. I know you're jammed up today. We sent you some of the questions we've been getting from people, minus their addresses, of course. But people are worried about if they didn't get a letter, does that mean they're home free? And I guess the question is, what happened? Where are we now? And where is this likely to lead?
Mike, good morning, and thanks for having me. Kim and I are both online, and we're pleased to have this opportunity to chat.
Great.
So just to kind of a little bit of background for all of the TSP participants, this is, of course, an event which we regret and which never happened, but we're doing our best to be transparent in how we're now responding and reacting to it and making people aware. So a quick thumbnail sketch is in July of 2011, a computer which belonged to one of our vendors named Serco, a third-party provider that we hire and supports the TSP, was the subject of a sophisticated hacking incident in which personally identifiable information of approximately 123,000 TSP participants was accessed. We became aware of this, so that happened July of 2011. We became aware of it from Serco and the FBI in April of this year, so just a couple months ago. And we then moved into a process whereby we had to figure out exactly what we had, what was accessed, check the list, and then verify that list, and eventually come out and send letters to all 123,000 participants, which we did on May 25th. That, of course, has translated to a lot of questions, both from Capitol Hill and from participants and from the press, and so we're doing our best to respond to that.
Great. Now, if somebody did not get a letter, does that mean they're safe?
Yes.
Okay, that their data was not compromised. And there was a second group within the 123,000, I think. It was a more serious breach?
Yes. So within that 123,000, that represents less than 3% of the total TSP population. So the point I want to underline is for 97% plus of the 4.5 million people that we take care of every day, they are totally unaffected. This has nothing to do with them. So for that 2.5% of the population does have data that was affected, then there is a risk of harm. But it's not the same for everybody. For about 80,000 participants of that 123, it was largely just their Social Security number. So the risk for harm without knowing name, without knowing bank account information is much lower. But nonetheless, we said we've still got to notify, we've still got to reach out and make people aware and provide services to mitigate that risk. About 43,000 of those 123,000 have names, addresses, Social Security numbers, and potentially other data, including bank routing numbers. So that's a risk. That's a group that has more data. And in the letters we sent out, it is specified what data of this group was accessed. And if participants have any questions after reading the letter, they can call the regular TSP phone line to verify exactly what data was accessed in their particular accounts.
Okay, so they can call and check in with TSP.
Yep.
If they got the bank routing number, would that indicate that they're probably retired?
It is likely that the reason we would have the bank routing number because somebody was in a payment status,
okay,
which is more likely if you're retired.
Right.
Certainly.
Okay. All right. Very good. And one of the questioners wanted to know why the TSP doesn't have a more sophisticated, as in complicated, password system. But that's not really an issue here, is it?
It's not, but it's. I understand the concern, and so I want to underline that TSP.gov, the place that participants go, was not the target of the attack was not touched, and we've done some homework just to verify and analyze our system, whether what happened at Serco and where the subject of the attack was, whether that somehow migrated to TSP.gov, and there's zero evidence of that. There is nobody accessing TSP.gov. It has not been breached. It has not been hacked. But nonetheless, it brings up the issue of security generally. And we do have an 8-digit password on the web access. And is that one more lesson that we'll take away? Sure. Yeah, we're always looking at new ways to improve security.
Well, I know it's been the nightmare of every director of the TSP going back to day one that they would have a computer hack, and I think some people thought it was inevitable. Is there any indication as to where the attack came from, and whether it was a person, place, or thing?
That's something that you have to direct to the FBI.
Okay,
our job is not to investigate a crime, but they did make us aware of it. We are aware that they are very aware of it and are working it, but we don't do criminal investigations. The FBI does.
Well, and they've, in addition to being professional and very good at their work, they also have a personal interest in this, because presumably some of the data that people got away with involves people in the FBI or the CIA or various agencies with intelligence or homeland security jurisdictions.
Well, it's certainly possible.
Yeah.
We don't have it broken down that way, but it's a random sampling of our entire population. And so, yes, are you likely to have some people from law enforcement agencies? Certainly.
I spoke with someone who was at that OPM HR conference in Dallas last week, and he had praise for your section of it, because I guess it was on transparency. The timing couldn't have been either better or worse, depending on how you look at it. But he said you just went on the stage, moved away from the podium and the lectern, and said, fire away, give me questions. How did that go? What kind of questions did you get?
Similar questions to what we're talking about right here, which is, what did you know? When did you know it? Why didn't have? If I've gotten a letter, am I affected? If I didn't get a letter, am I okay? Questions and like exactly the ones that you and I are talking about now. And then there's questions that we don't know answers to, which is who did it, and
sure.
So my job was to, once we knew about this, is to figure out how to respond, how to make sure it never happens again, and how to be transparent with our participants now that we've announced it. And so as part of that, when I go to a conference like the one in Dallas, talking to the folks from OPM, I want to be as transparent as possible. And this is one of the reasons we're on the phone right now, is I want to make sure with the press, the media, and through the media to all of our participants, that people know we're owning up to what happened and being clear about it and trying to provide people with protection going forward.
Well, as I understand it from similar things, it's not at all unusual for the FBI to become aware of something, start investigating it, and wait a goodly amount of time, often for a reason that they think is good, before they notify the people affected, in this case, you guys.
Yeah, that gets to things that we don't know about. We do know that we were notified in April exactly when the FBI became aware of this. We're not privy to that information here.
Right. Of the 123,000 people, how many of them will get this 1 year of credit monitoring?
All of them.
All 123,000.
Yeah.
And that's the three major credit bureaus?
It's a service that's offered to all 123,000 if they want. They don't have to do it, but
mm-hmm.
it's offered to all. There's a phone number for the organization that we've hired, and that's the name is Kroll Incorporated, and they're the world's leading risk consulting company. And the service that's provided is called their ID Theft Smart Service. It's for 1 year, and it has credit consultation, continuous credit monitoring, and the ability to put fraud alerts on the credit bureau.
Now, is this something the individual will pay for, or will the government pay for?
The individual will not pay for it. This is free to the participant.
Okay, and then I guess it's always a good idea for any of us, whether we're in this or not, to every now and then check in with the credit bureau. You get one free one a year, I think, and just see if there's any untoward activity in any of your accounts.
And this is one more way and one more reminder to always be aware that there are risks. I wish that this was a highly unusual situation. But what happens, you don't need to pick up the paper to be aware that cyber risk is everywhere. And we're doing our best to build walls while the bad guys build ladders, and we're trying to build better and stronger walls every day.
Did you learn anything for this, or is anything going to change? Not that it's your fault or fault of the system, but because of the people are getting more sophisticated out there. There's some stories in the Washington Post today about, a group in Russia or the Ukraine hacking into something. But what's going to change, if anything?
Well, we've already made some changes as far as scanning our system, making sure that the target computer and the network was taken offline, and do a very significant look at any and all activity going on at the Serco network. We are also going to take a hard look at ourselves going forward and say, well, what else can we do? How can we get better, faster, stronger when it comes to cybersecurity? That's going to be a longer-term solution. That's not something you can just do with, baling wire and chewing gum. We've got to put some significant thought behind how you architect the system for the future.
I know you have a question and answer, a Q&A thing up on the website that deals with a dozen or so of the most asked questions. In fact, I haven't heard any that are not covered in that, and that's available on your website. Is there anything else people can be doing? Is there any indication that is there any way people could get money out of an account?
Yeah, and so that's a very good question, Mike. And I want to be quite clear, no money was accessed at all in this. This is a breach of data, and it's a breach of data only, and it happened not at TSB.gov, not where the account is, but at our vendor who holds some of the data that assists us with record keeping. So nobody lost a nickel in any of this. But what has been lost is access control over portions of the data that we have. And that's a very serious incident, and we treat it very seriously. But I don't want anybody to think that anybody's lost any money. They haven't.
Okay. And you would know that rather quickly, I guess.
Yeah, and I want to underline again, even though this data has been out where it shouldn't be since July of 11, we've not received any indication that any of the data has been misused. So no money has been lost. We have no indication that the data has been misused, but we have to treat it as if there's a risk of harm. And there is a risk, and that's why we put the letter out and the notice out and executed the service, because we wanted a way to mitigate that risk.
The fact that 123,000 accounts were compromised to some extent, is that all the ones that the vendor had, or are they scattered around?
That's what was on the targeted computer.
Okay, targeted computer. Okay.
Yes. And so there's a particular computer at our vendor that was the target of the attack.